First time I saw, this is going to be a little different kind of a sermon today. First time I saw anything like it, my little brother did it, and it really spoke to me. And I know that some here might have already seen it before. But my little brother reminisced about his baptism day and what it meant. And unfortunately, I do not know the day I was baptized. I don't have a certificate, so I hope I don't need it when I stand before God someday. He's like, where's your certificate? And I know it had to be a late spring or summer day because it was in a lake. I remember that. But I just don't know the day. My mom used to make this is something my little brother helped me remember. She used to always make the emblems. And she always made pie crust. And that became the bread. And she would always have a bunch left over, so she would roll it out, Tim would say, and I remember this, into big strips of dough, and she would sprinkle cinnamon sugar on it. And of course, we could have all that we wanted because that wasn't communion emblems. It wasn't communion emblems until it passed in front of you Sunday morning. And so I want kids today to see this meal and what might have happened. We just got done celebrating Jesus' resurrection. What might have happened the night that Jesus ate with his disciples and how serious of a time it was. And that Dan and I have been talking about communion in the future, but communion is something that even kids today can listen to and talk about because it's something you can't have until you come to a point where you accept Jesus. And there's a reason for that. So I wanted to talk about it this morning a little bit. In Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 16, we read these words. The day of unleavened bread came. The day of the Passover lamb was butchered. Jesus sent Peter and John off saying, "Go prepare the Passover for us so we can eat it together." They said, "Where do you want us to do this?" And he said, "Keep your eyes open as you enter the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him home. Then speak with the owner of the house. The teacher wants to know, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will show you a spacious second-story room, swept and ready. Prepare the meal here, there." They left, found everything just as he told them, and prepared the Passover meal. Now, when I was in Jerusalem, there were several doors that said, this is the place of the upper room. This is the place of the upper room. I doubt any of them were the place of the upper room because this Jerusalem was pretty much destroyed in 70 AD, and the city that sits there today isn't the same city that sat there when Jesus walked the streets. So it's amazing how people try to say, this is the place. Jesus was born here on this spot in Bethlehem. Doubtful. Doubtful anybody really knows where that spot was. Nor were we there for this event. But his disciples did as Jesus told them to do. They went, they followed this man with a pitcher, they went to the house, and they prepared the supper. So I think it's important for us to understand what might have happened that night and to ponder it. They would have all sat down around a table. You've seen the pictures. Pastor Gordon painted a picture. It's hanging in the kitchen. I think he painted that picture, did he not? Of them sitting around the table. And one of the first things that would have happened, when I was a kid, we used to sit around the table and my mom would say, "Okay, Rick, you say a prayer." And this was the prayer. I've said it before. "God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen." You know, it's pretty bad when you get to the age of 12, 13, 14, you're still saying that prayer. At some point in time, you got to start expanding your horizons and saying there's more to a relationship with God besides that prayer. But they would have sat down and maybe said something like this: "Blessed are you, O God, the maker of the heavens, the universe, and the giver of the fruit of the vine." There would have been four glasses most likely there, and they all have a name. This is the glass of sanctification. This is the glass of plagues and deliverance. This is the glass of redemption. And this is the glass of praise. And they would have been sitting there, and at one point in time, one of the disciples would have picked up the first cup and he would have taken a drink. This is not wine, it is grape juice. To those of you who may stumble. And he would have passed it on around the table, and they all would have taken a drink of the cup of sanctification. What is the cup? Can everybody say sanctification? Sanctification meant that God has set you apart. Remember the time when he told Abraham, look northward, southward, eastward, westward, all this land I'm going to give you is an everlasting promise. Well, he sanctified them. He set them apart. He said, you are my people. At the same time, some things happened that maybe we don't quite understand, but they went into captivity and they came out of captivity after, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, after 10 plagues. God let them know that during this time of Passover, that they were still sanctified. So they would have drank from the cup of sanctification. It says in Exodus 6, 6 and 7, therefore say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, I will free you from the oppression, and I will rescue you from the slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people and will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from the oppression in Egypt. So when they got together for Passover, they were celebrating this time period where God used 9 plagues against the Egyptians and yet was able to bring his people through them. But the last plague, the plague where the firstborn died, he gave them explicit instructions. Jesus, in this writing where Jesus disciples went to that upper room, it says the lamb, Passover lamb, had been butchered. So they were going to make preparations for that. So that was to celebrate all these plagues that happened in the last plague, where they took a lamb and they put the blood on their doorposts and over their door. That was a way for the death angel to come over and go, oh, those people are sanctified. Those people are covered by the blood of the lamb that they slew because God told them to. That's what that cup of sanctification was all about. And today when we do have communion or we do talk about Jesus and his price on the cross of Calvary, we do celebrate him and what the price that he paid. We don't need a sacrificial lamb anymore where we take the blood and put it on our doorposts and over our doors. Jesus became a sacrifice once for all for everybody. So they came to a point where they would have told the Passover story. And they would have recounted all those different things, that those different plagues. Nobody would have drank out of this cup. It's a cup of plagues and deliverance. Somebody would have told the story about them being captive in the land of Egypt and how God spoke to Moses in a burning bush and sent him to come into the land and say this, and Pharaoh wouldn't have listened. We all know the story. And they would have recounted all the plagues, and as they did, they would have each done, after they took that first drink, I skipped something and I messed up. I got to back up a little bit. After that first drink, you ever had something sorrowful happen in your life? Something that causes you to cry? Have you ever had a teardrop run down your cheek and into your mouth? And it's salty, bitter? They would have drank from that cup of sanctification, but then they would have taken a piece of parsley and they would have dipped it in some salt water and they would eat it. And it's very salty and bitter. And it would have reminded them, it would be part of the reminder of this process, this meal we're having was not pleasant time. God took us from a bad situation out miraculously, but through a lot of suffering from other people, because God is all-powerful and almighty. And so they would have had a piece of that parsley and they would have passed it around and each taken a piece. It's not like sitting watching a movie in the living room with a bag of popcorn and the ranch salt. Ooh, that's so good. Anybody got some caramel corn? Wasn't like that. I'm having a hard time getting that down. That piece of parsley stuck. It's not something I would write home about and go get a bag of. I still remember when my grandpa was in the hospital, one of his last meals was a piece of steak or something of the sort, and they had a piece of parsley on it. I still laugh about it with my dad sometimes. And grandpa took his finger and flicked that piece of parsley onto the floor and said, "Who put this quack grass on my steak?" Not something everybody likes to eat. So they would have done that as a reminder of the bitterness of that time period. And then they would have had this cup of plagues and deliverance, and they would have each stuck a finger at a time into it. And they would have said, blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locust, darkness, death. Nobody's going to drink from that cup. I'm not drinking from the cup even though I washed my hands. But after they would have eaten this parsley, they would have washed their hands and continued on with the meal. And at some point in time, something very significant would have happened. There possibly was 3 loaves of bread on the table, and Jesus would have taken the middle loaf of those bread and he would have put it in the middle of the table. And he would have taken a cloth maybe and he would have covered it up. Now something is going on here that's significant. This piece of bread is going to become the best part of the meal because it represents dessert. We're going to have some of the other meal, but at the end, we're going to have dessert. And we have the stuff they would have used to dip their food and stuff in with this stuff called haroset. And it's said with a much phlegmier sound than that. I don't have any haroset. It's just Nutella, honey, and horseradish. But the horseradish is also symbolic of bitterness. I mean, my dad used to go out when he was a truck driver, and he would always find a different horseradish and bring it home now and then. I remember that as a kid. And for some reason, I like horseradish, so I'll put horseradish in different things and eat it. But anyway, it's also bitter. And they probably didn't have some produced horseradish from Kroger. They probably literally had some horseradish pulled out of the ground and chopped up. And it's not the same thing you get at the grocery store today. But these items would have been there, and as they were eating their meals, they would be taking a piece of bread and dipping it into maybe the salty water or the horseradish, and they would be eating. And here's the beef sticks that aren't lamb, really. these will be at the table to have later. But Jesus would have been serving this around the table. And can you imagine what was going through his mind as he's passing around lamb, knowing full well that maybe his disciples still didn't realize that tomorrow, 24 hours from now, the Lamb of God is going to be hanging on a cross. And he's passing around and they're eating the marriage supper of the Lamb. Or I shouldn't say the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's later, that they're eating lamb. What had to be going through Jesus' mind? Because you kind of get the idea from Scripture that the disciples were kind of still in the dark about some of this stuff. They still didn't understand. And even after he was resurrected, he was teaching them on the road how these things had to happen. And it finally clicked after he was risen from the dead. So we just need to think about what could have been going through his mind that day as he sat there. Maybe eating some lamb with them. But at the same time, he might be thinking, Because we know later on that night, he's in the garden praying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. So just think about for a minute. Think about what Jesus might have been experiencing. Hebrews 10:14 says, by his one sacrifice, he has forever set free from sin the people he brings to God. So we get to that point in the meal where they've passed the lamb around, they've had parsley. At some point in time, Jesus would have picked up this cup. But before he did, he would have reached over and he would have uncovered the bread, because it's dessert time. People, you know, who eats their dessert first? I'm usually pretty guilty of that. There's some dessert to be had. I'm probably going to eat some of it before I finish the rest of the meal. And he would have, at some point in time, uncovered this bread, and everybody is excited because who doesn't like dessert? And here's some Harrowset, or here's some honey, and they didn't have Nutella, but or peanut butter, but they had some other things. And so it's not like they had a carrot cake or a pie, but Jesus uncovers the bread. And there's probably excitement around the table. Dessert time. And Jesus says, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, I can't imagine, we can't associate with this because we don't have this Passover celebration. But we do have Thanksgiving. We get together for Resurrection Day and we had dinner. Could you imagine? It's going to be a little gross to you folks. Mom or grandma walks out of the kitchen. It's dessert time. Thanksgiving dinner's over. And she's got a bandage around her hand. And she puts a pie on the table and it's dessert time. And she says, I'm sorry to tell you that I cut my finger off making this pie. And one of you is going to get really lucky. That's gross, isn't it? But who wants to have pie after that? But Jesus took dessert and said, this is my body. I know that's a crude illustration. And I can't even imagine what the disciples were thinking at the time. Ooh, what a way to ruin dessert. No, but he didn't ruin dessert. He just told the truth. This really important part of the meal just became the most important part of the meal. I think they're starting to put it together. This was our last supper with Jesus. Things aren't going to be so good. And they would have took a piece of the bread and they probably wouldn't have dipped it into the Nutella and the honey and made it sweet. And then Jesus would have finally picked up the cup of redemption and said, this is my blood. And he would have passed it around to his disciples. As often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, the Bible tells us. And then Jesus said something very important. Never again, he said, will I drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it again with you in my Father's kingdom. Here's one cup left they probably never touched, the cup of praise. The Bible tells us we're going to drink of the fruit of the vine again with Jesus, and it's probably going to be out of this cup, the cup of praise. So if we have a communion in the future, I'm speaking to our young people now that aren't baptized and to the ones that are, it's a serious time where we remember that last supper Jesus had with his disciples, that he literally took the best part of the meal and made it into the most solemn thing we can do today. When we get together and we take this little piece of bread and it gets passed around in front of us and we take it and we bow our heads and we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve the price paid on a cross for me. But you gave your son willingly, and he went to the cross voluntarily, Lord, and help me not to take it for granted. Lord, if there's any sin in my life, please blot it out. I don't want to partake of this emblem unworthily. And if there's ever a time in your life where you are taking the communion and you don't feel worthy, then you shouldn't take it. You should pass it by just because you don't want to offend God if you've got something in your life. We've all have dark times in our life. We all make mistakes. God knows that. But if there's something we've done that we've so wronged the Lord and we just don't feel right, we feel like we could be doing it unworthily, then we shouldn't do it. So in the future, hopefully there will be a communion service, and we can do away with, maybe speaking out of turn without talking to Dan more about this. Sometimes it's better, in my opinion, to have the emblems right up here so only people baptized come up to take them. And we don't ever have that situation where somebody visiting goes, I think I'm going to go have a piece of bread because they don't understand. But I don't know how that'll happen. I just want today for us to think about this supper that took place over 2,000 years ago. And Jesus gave his disciples an example of what that last bit of the meal was all about. And we use it today. A lot of churches use it every day, once a month, to remember Jesus and the price paid on a cross. We're going to close this morning with the song 384 in your books. 384, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. If you're thinking about making a decision for Jesus, come see me. Come see Dan. Go see